Genesis 27. Genesis chapter number 27. Let's see here, for sake of time, let's pick up verse number 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is an hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee. Sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. And said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." That's a whole nother message. We got some Christians in 2019 that got one voice in different hands. Yeah, coming to a pulpit near you. "And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hand, so he blessed him. And he said, 'Art thou my very son Esau?' And he said, 'I am.' And he said, 'Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee.' And he brought it near to him, and he did eat it. And he brought him wine, and he drank." Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Use the Bible. Thank you that thousands years later, after it was spoken, it still works. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We began last week discussing the dysfunctional family. It amazes me that since last Wednesday and this Wednesday, the devil has turned up his efforts to destroy families. He loves dysfunctional families. Here's why. The family was the first institution of God, the single most important unit in all of the world. And as goes the family, goes everything else. You have bad families, you can't have good churches. You have a bad family, you can't have a good society. But when you've got the home intact, then the devil's in trouble. Somebody say amen. And so here we are in the first book of the Bible. God hasn't said a whole lot by way of scripture. There's not a lot that's happened by way of biblical history. And yet we find out very early in the Bible how quickly and how tragically a home can become dysfunctional. We also learn in this story that a home doesn't function right just because daddy's right. A home doesn't function right just because mommy's right. A home doesn't function right just because daddy and mommy are right. It doesn't function just because a child's right. Listen, for the home to function the way God wants it to function, everybody in the home needs to do right. And we're going to watch in Genesis 27 how one by one, each person doesn't stand in his place. And the mistake of every individual in Genesis 27 helped to further contribute to dysfunction. It began with Esau. At the conclusion of chapter 26, Esau introduces us to a disappointing choice. It was the choice to marry outside of the will of God, outside of the will of his parents, and he didn't care. I spent a significant amount of time last week, and it bears repeating, to challenge all of the young people in the building tonight. You ought to care about hurting your parents. You ought to care about disappointing the people that God has placed in your life as your authority. It ought to matter what your parents say. And by the way, like we would tell Esau, I tell you, no matter how smart you think you are, no matter how wise you think you become, no matter how innovative you think you may be, you do not know more than your parents. But he made a choice of selfishness, a choice not only with a selfish attitude, but a choice to be around secular associations, which led to sinful acts and caused him to shame his authority. Let me say this to all of us in the building, as parents and as children, we need not ever underestimate the influence of secular associations. And we are living in a society where we downplay, by the way, just because something has become more common doesn't mean it becomes less dangerous. Somebody say amen. Just because everybody does it doesn't mean it's any less lethal. Just because it's become popular doesn't mean it's any less bad. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it won't destroy your life. Just because people advocate it doesn't mean God advocates it. Just because people that are somebody and that are famous have started to do it doesn't mean the children of God need to start to do it. And all of us that love God, all of us that love our homes, all of us that love our marriages, all of us that love our kids need to bind hands and bind hearts together to make sure that the devil and his influence does not infiltrate the mind of the body of Christ and the Christian home. And that takes aggressiveness. It certainly takes alertness. Too many of the children of God have fallen asleep. So the disappointing choice, now the declining condition of Isaac. He was old, his pining strength, his physical sight, his preferred scenario, his passionate solicitation. Now listen, Isaac was getting up in years and his strength was getting weak and so was his fight. And I'm fearful that sometimes the more time that goes by, the more parents don't want to fight. Come on, say amen. The more tired we are, the less we want to fight. Now, let me tell you something. It's not time in the Christian life to rest. Let me say that again. It's not time in the Christian life to rest. Now, you can rest in the Lord, but you can't rest from the fight. It is not time to slow down fighting. Somebody say amen. You say, Pastor, when I'm going to rest? You're going to rest when you get to heaven. But in the meantime, we got to stay in the fight. Amen. And by the way, our homes are worth fighting for. Our marriages are worth fighting for. You children are on a trip today in Northern Virginia, but there's some mamas and daddies back in Tennessee that have been on their knees praying for you, that you'd be a senior whose heart would be given to God, that you'd be a high schooler who would surrender to the will of God, that when you leave their home, you won't leave God's will. And I'm telling you, there's a devil that wants to destroy you and to sift you as wheat, but there's a God who's bigger than the devil, and he's greater than the devil, and he's stronger than the devil, and he's more powerful than the devil, but he wants us to trust him and to obey him so we can beat the devil. So Isaac represents a declining condition. Now let's go beyond there. Rebecca represents a devious concoction. Are you listening? She's eavesdropping. She's listening in. Eavesdropping awareness. This is how her plan started. She overheard something that didn't settle well with her. By the way, the Christian life is never about settling with us. It's about settling well with God. She heard something that didn't settle well with her. And she was absolutely intent on making things work the way she wanted them to work. Now listen to me, beloved. You're going to find out in the Christian life that any time you are forced to scheme, you're always headed down the wrong road. The Christian life was never about scheming. Somebody say amen. Now, I know we think we have to scheme and we justify our schemes and we say that our motives for scheming will downplay the significance of the error of our scheme. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a big difference between scheming and trusting. Now, every time in the Bible, a child of God stepped away from trusting God and began to scheme, it never turned out right. Listen to me now. If you're in the building tonight, living for God and scheming, get out. It never, ever works out right. Now watch your scheme. I heard what he said. Now, son, verse 6. Since I heard what he said about your brother, verse 7, bring me venison. Make me some meat. This is what she heard. Now go to the flock and fetch me some, verse 9. And when you fetch some meat like your daddy asked to eat, I'll make it taste the way he wants it to taste. Are you listening to me now? She repeats to Jacob what she heard her husband say. And then after repeating what she heard him say, she told him to do differently than what he said. Now watch this now. Rebecca's letting us know that she didn't do wrong by accident. She did wrong on purpose. Now listen to me now, and I'm talking to all of us as parents. It will never work out for our children when one parent is working against another parent deceptively. I don't care if you think it's for the benefit of the child. I don't care if you think the other parent was wrong. You've got to listen to me. God never intended for two people living by the same rule book to be doing two different things. Somebody help me preach. Now listen to me. Here she goes with a devious concoction. Now she makes it a very eavesdropping awareness. Notice her explicit arrangement. You go get it. You go get it. And you go bring it here. Notice the engrossed agenda that she has. Watch this now. I'm gonna make it all work out. You bring it to me. I'm gonna fix it for your father. He's gonna eat and he's going to bless you before his death. Now wait a minute now. Who daddy blesses is not up to you. Be careful, parents, all of us. It is never our job as parental authorities to usurp God's authority. No matter how much we wish for our children, our wishes should never step in place of God's will. Listen to me. She wanted Jacob to get the blessing. She thought Jacob should get the blessing. Listen to me now. She even knew that God said Jacob would have the blessing. But knowing what God said and wanting what God wants and even having preferences that you want yourself are never an excuse to interfere with God's work. Listen to me. Too many times as parents, we are tempted to play God. Won't you do this? If you do this, it'll work out better. And by the way, the last thing we want to do as parents is do things for our children that they need to learn to do for themselves. And it's very easy to do it. Your child may get an A all the way through school, but he may graduate a dummy because you did all the work. God help us. And by the way, we're not just talking about science projects and black history. I'm just talking about sometimes they're going to have to learn. I can't fight the devil for you. You got to fight the devil for yourself. I can't read for you. You got to read for yourself. I can't pray for you. You got to pray for yourself. I can't witness for you. You got to witness for yourself. I can't live for you. You got to live for yourself. Listen to me now. She thinks she's helping Jacob. She's hurting him. She is spiraling this family further into dysfunction. Listen, mama. God doesn't need your help. Her agenda is to get Jacob the blessing at any cost. Look at the expressed apprehension of Jacob. But mom, I'm smooth and Esau's hairy. Daddy might feel me, verse 12, and I'll seem as a deceiver, and I'll bring a curse and not a blessing. Now, listen. When a child says, mama, what you're telling me to do is not bad news. It's going to turn out bad. It might be a good time for us as parents to say, you know what, child? I'm the parent, you're the child, but you're right. You're right. But look what she said. Upon me be the curse. Obey me and go fetch me them. In other words, I heard you. I acknowledge what you said. Nonetheless, do what I said. We're going to dysfunction. And the extensive assistance to get it done. He went and fetched, brought them to her. Verse 14. She made meat just like he loved. Took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house. Put them on Jacob. She had his clothes already. Put them on Jacob. Put skins of kids of the goats on his hands and on his neck. Let me can I tell you something? Working for the devil will wear you out. I'm trying to tell you, I am baffled at how many Christian people want to go on these long debates with me about how overexerting the Christian life is. And when you serve God, you can't go here and you can't go there and you can't watch this and you can't watch that. And I just feel like Christianity just wearing me out. And I look at some of them lives and you ain't worn out from God. You worn out from the devil. The devil got you living two lives. He got you sneaking and hiding and conniving. And the devil got you clicking and erasing and breaking passwords and putting them back up there. And the devil got you wearing one mask and putting on two different outfits and going to school looking one way and changing when you get there and putting up one Facebook page and creating another. Listen, the devil will have you more worn out than serving God. Listen to me. Living one life is way less exhausting than trying to live two. And here she is. Look at all she had to go through. Just a lie. I mean, goats and getting skins and putting them all on the boy's neck and all of making food. She wasn't even scheduled to cook that day. You let the devil convince you that you got to do it his way to do right. I'm trying to serve God. And I'm just going to have to do all this work. And listen, the devil had you working overtime. Yeah, you'd be going in when you weren't even scheduled. Trying to make it right. What a shame. Now, number four, here's Jacob. The deceptive commission. Esau began spiraling this family into dysfunction with his disappointing choice. Isaac got in on it with his declining condition. Rebekah joins in. She takes the baton with her devious concoction. Now it is handed to Jacob. Run with it, boy. And run he will with his deceptive commission. Let's watch it and see how deceptive it is. Are you all watching this thing get worse and worse and worse? Verse 18. He came to his father. and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, son? Verse 19. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Write this down. Made up lies. Made up lies. Now listen. Here's what happens when you sign on to the devil's plan. You got to lie. Come on. You got to lie. I mean, listen, if you want to join his gang, you got to lie. Because he's the liar, John 8:44, and the father of lies. Listen, he invented lies. Everything that's a lie is kin to him. So in order to run with him, you got to lie. And listen, here's the thought. I'm not going to lie long. I'm just going to lie now so I can get out of it. But what it doesn't tell you is one lie always necessitates another. Come on. Who are you? I am Esau. What a lie. Verse 19. I have done according as thou badest me. Lie number two. Lie number one. I am Esau. Now listen. You don't have to lie about who you are unless you're doing what you shouldn't do. But wrong behavior always forces you to lie. You don't have to tell that you're somebody else if you're doing what you're supposed to. Hey, aren't you? Weren't you with him when we saw him in the garden? Oh, no. I don't even know him. Now, why did Peter have to lie around the fire? Tell you why. Because he was following afar off. When he distanced himself from Jesus and surrounded himself with sinners, he was forced to say he wasn't with Jesus because he was already in the wrong place. And this is Jacob. You don't have to say you're Esau if you're not in the middle of a bad scheme. But when you get where you shouldn't be, you've got to say you're somebody that you're not. Lie number one, I'm Esau. Lie number two, I've done exactly what you told me to do. Sound like Saul, doesn't it? Oh, great Samuel, we've been looking for you. Blessed be the Lord God. We have obeyed thy word. We killed every single thing that Amalek had. I mean, we killed everything. Bah. Samuel said, what that noise? Who let the sheep out? Bah, bah. Listen. I'm your firstborn. Verse 20. How is it that thou hast found it so quickly? Huh? That's what happens when you're trying to be something you ain't. See, he's not Esau. He doesn't know how to hunt. He's a homeboy. He's been in the kitchen with mama. He never killed nothing. He never cleaned nothing. And he sure ain't never fixed it. And now he's bringing food he didn't fix from an animal he didn't kill, trying to be a person that he is not. And he was too ignorant to calculate enough time between when his daddy asked his brother to go out to when he brought back the food to know you can't get food that fast. That's the problem with Christian people engrossed in lying. You're lying, but you ain't skilled enough to lie good. Watch it, kids. You think you're smart, but you ain't smarter than the parents. Amen. I didn't eat the cookies. Well, why are them crumbs on your mouth? Amen. That's what he's saying. He's giving himself away. But that's okay. Daddy didn't catch him. Daddy didn't catch him. Look how it continues. Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now write down made up lies. So see all those lies? Write this next one down. A mocked Lord. See, lying will eventually lead you to mock God. You're not right with God, but you know that the people you're talking to respect God. So talk godly to them, because talking the way they respect will further convince them of your lie. Where were you? I was on visitation, telling people about Jesus. Now, you know you weren't, but the people you're talking to love Jesus, so if you say it, they might not keep investigating your lie. Be careful. Write this third point down. Misrepresented love. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I may feel thy my son, thee my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Verse 22, Jacob went near unto Isaac his father and felt him. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Verse 23, he discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother's hands were, Esau's hands were, so he blessed him. Verse 24, and he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Now watch this now. He's getting up close to his daddy like he loves him. But he ain't getting up close for love. He's getting up close for lies. Yeah. You know what bothers me? What bothers me about so much of Christianity, that when you fall so deep into deception, you can be in the middle of lying and supposedly loving at the same time. Can you imagine him getting up close to his daddy, hugging him, and saying, I'm doing this because I love you, when the truth of the matter is, I'm doing this because I want to fool you? Do we do God that way sometimes? Do we treat God like he can't see our hearts? Like he doesn't know what we say? Like he doesn't know what we do? Like he doesn't know who we are? And by the way, do we do the people of God like that? Look spiritual, sound spiritual, speak spiritual, act spiritual, shout spiritual, hand wave spiritual, foot stomp spiritual, altar go spiritual, testify spiritual. Why? The more that I speak the Christian words, the more they won't question my life. A man can be cheating on his wife and send her flowers in the same day. You know what that is? That's to throw off the beaten path. That's what he's doing. Throw daddy off the beaten path. God help us. And a manipulated livelihood. He got the blessing. Sure enough, he discerned him not. His hands were hairy. Verse 23, so he blessed him. So he blessed him. Yep, you got what you wanted. Sure did. You got what you were looking for. Your scheme worked. But ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't work if we have to manipulate to get it. Listen to me now. Listen to the Christian life. Nothing that God has for you do you have to sneak, scheme, or steal. Come on, listen to me now. God's not expecting you to sneak around in the twilight hour of the night and rob some joy and get out the heavenly grocery store with some peace while the security guard was eating a donut. No, no, no. Listen to me. Anything that God gives you, you don't have to sneak and get it. You don't have to hide and get it. You don't have to connive to get it. You don't have to manipulate it. You remember James and John? Mama came to Jesus. Bible says she came worshiping him. And on the heels of her worship said, could you sit my son at your right hand and your left? That's the spirit of manipulation. It's bowing to get something. It's doing good to get something out of somebody. And I'm telling you, that spirit happens all over Christian homes all the time. Could I tell you, can we ever just get back to just loving God because it's the right thing? Serving God because it's the right thing? Walking with God because it's the right thing? Living by the Bible because it's the right thing? God help us. What a shame. A manipulated livelihood. Look at the next verse, and I'll give you a couple more, and then we'll go. And his father said, come near and kiss me. He smelt him, 27, blessed him. The smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God, give thee of the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn. Let the people serve thee. Nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. That fast. Out goes one, in goes the other. And thus saith the Lord, whosoever therefore shalt have thy car honking the horn, shalt exit the auditorium and turn thy horn off, lest thou shalt be cut into pieces and thrown into the fiery furnace and the lion's den and the whale of the belly for 3 days and 33 nights and 40 days and 40 nights. I hope we can get that thing stop noise. Amen. A manipulated blessing. Write down the last thing I'll deal with tonight. Not only a deceptive commission, but a distraught conclusion. Out goes Jacob and in comes Esau. Here's the real firstborn. And here he comes, bringing the meat right on schedule. Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. I call this a very casual approach. He's walking in like he's supposed to walk in. Unbeknownst to him, the family is spiraling in dysfunction and he has no clue. Listen to me now. This is what deception does. It makes people, when they think things are fine, have no clue that they're on the brink of destruction. Here he comes. Daddy, here's my meat. I made it for you. Come and eat it. And listen to his father. Who are you? Verse 32. Who are you? This casual approach was continued, if you would, by clear astonishment. Huh? Huh? How can you be here? You just left. How can you be in the room? You just left the room. I tell you what deception does. Deception breeds confusion. God's not the author of confusion. The devil is. I'm talking about families. Where people are going, huh? How could that be? I just hung up with you. How are you here? I just saw you. How are you there? I just spoke to you. How are you talking to me? Lies bring about confusion. Listen to me now. The last place confusion needs to be comfortable is in a Christian home. Casual approach. Clear astonishment. Notice the response. I am thy firstborn. I'm Esau. Verse 33. Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. In other words, what in the world just happened? How does this lying exist among family? What has happened? We've gone so haywire, so far away from the intention of God for this home. You married somebody you shouldn't have married. I'm losing my energy to fight. Your mama's coming up with a scheme. Your brother's lying. And it's almost like Isaac is saying, how did we get here? It amazes me that selfishness tells you to make choices and be careless about who those choices will affect. But when the results come, nobody's happy. Nobody's happy. Esau, you made a choice to marry who you wanted to marry. You were fine with it. Are you happy now? Nope. Well, I didn't want to fight anymore because I'm getting older and I'm getting blind. And are you happy now? Nope. Well, you want to work this thing out for your son to get him a blessing, ma'am, so Jacob would be blessed. And you're Rebecca and Mama knows best. Are you happy now? Nope. Jacob's running. Is he happy now? Nope. The only person that's happy when his scheme is accomplished is the devil. He wrecks your home and then leaves for the next one and go get somebody. By the time you find him out, he's working on the next home. And there's so much wreckage that he's left in your home, you don't need him to hang around. The mess will keep you occupied. Off to the next. I've stirred up the pot now. The candid answer is very simply, I've already blessed your brother. The lies that were done to make things right have made them worse. I can't give you what I don't have. The crying appeal is, oh, please, don't you have something for me? Don't you have something for me? Don't you have something for me? And by the way, let's not forget, Esau had a birthright that he gave up willingly. Sometimes, beloved, when we willingly relinquish something that we shouldn't give up, we set ourselves up down the road for something to be stolen from us. And there are a whole bunch of Christians that would like to spend all their time complaining about who stole something from them and very little time about the stuff they gave up. You can't decide what somebody sneaks and takes from you, but you sure can decide what you give up. Now notice the compelling anger. He's absolutely hot. Whew. What? Rightfully his name is he not rightly named Jacob? 36, he supplanted me two times. 36, he took away my birthright. Behold, now you have taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved me a blessing? I don't have one. You're going to dwell among the fatness, verse 39, as the earth, the dew of the heaven from above. By thy sword you shall live and serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off. Listen to me now. When sin gets involved, God's will can't be accomplished because man has messed it up. And let me tell you something. I hear people all the time wondering, God, jump in, God, jump in, God, jump in. It's too late for God to jump in once we've jumped in. He can't step over sin and perform his bidding. He's limited in his power when man gets in the way. His intentions have been foiled. He wants to, but he can't. And here's a father saying, as much as I want to help you, son, sin won't let me. And is there anything more heartbreaking for a parent than to be limited in what you can do for your child because sin has gotten in the way? Notice the consuming animosity. I'm finished. Let's draw close. Esau's hot. Verse 41, he hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And he said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Hear this, and I'm done. Consuming animosity. Bitterness is in the home now. And it's boiling. I'm telling you, it's boiling. And here's Esau. Out of respect for my dad, I will let him die in peace. But as soon as we get him in the grave, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. And it all started with disobedience, which led to deception. See, it does matter. No. It does matter when you decide to do what you're not supposed to do. It does matter when you... Listen, we spend too much time on making sure it's covered and not enough time on making sure it's correct. Right? No, you didn't hear me because you didn't say anything. We spend too much time making sure it's covered and not enough time making sure it's correct. We spend hours making sure we don't get caught and seconds making sure we don't sin. I'm just telling you, our time is, listen, we spend all our time making sure we look good in the service when we sing and not enough time making sure we look good in the service before we ever get here and sing. Our priorities are whack. And it shows up later in result. And now you've got a brother who wants to kill a brother. Sound like that happened earlier in Genesis. And now eventually the home is going to have to split up. Because these four people that God has put under the same roof can't function together because at least one of them wants to kill the other. You know what that is? Dysfunction. And you know what it is? It is exactly what can happen to any of us if we don't take God seriously. Just one little disobedient. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to date who I want. I'm going to watch what I want. I'm grown now. So was Esau, 40 years old. But grown never meant you get to sin with no consequences. Truth of the matter is, I think we'd all say, the older you get, the bigger the consequences get. There's more at stake. Everybody wants to get old to get more freedom. Truth of the matter is, the older you get, the less freedom you get. I can't wait till I'm grown. I can do everything I want to do. I meet these young boys sometimes preaching somewhere. I'm 17 years old. Once I turn 18, I'm getting up out of here. I'm a grown man. I'm going to pay my own bills, coming to the house when I want to. I'm sick and tired of my mama telling me what to do and my dad telling me what to do. And got to get up in the morning and do all these chores and got to turn in, make money and pay rent. I'm getting out of here and join the Marines. Yeah. Good luck. Good luck with that guy yelling at you every day. Yeah. You think getting screamed at because you didn't make your bed is bad? You go ahead and be grown. They don't scream at you. They evict you. Yeah. Mom and daddy say, give me your phone. The cell phone company say, keep it. It just won't work. You go ahead and keep it. You turn it on and won't nothing happen. Mom and daddy said, give it to me and maybe you'll get it back. Come on. You might not be ready to be grown. You better stay a youth as long as you can. Get everything you can from God and your parents. Amen. Because time you get dropped off into grownness, you'd be calling Uber before they back out the driveway. Let me be a child again. We better spend more time on our families. Do you hear me? We better spend more time on our families. And by the way, parents, a lot of children have learned covering from the parents. You take hypocrisy in mom and daddy and give it to these kids who are smarter and have smarter phones, they'll just be bigger hypocrites at earlier years. Yeah. And the last thing we want to do is punish them for doing something they see us do every day. It's dysfunction. Lord, help us. Help us all. All of us. Be careful, cautious. Whether we have children or not, every one of us, help us to live holy and honest lives. In Jesus' name.